Hello, everyone. You're in the dev track. That said, this is designed to be an appealing session to any of a number of constituencies. It is entitled Nintex, using Nintex to automate and integrate SharePoint and a whole lot more. My name is Mike Fitzmaurice. I'm the Vice President of Product Technology for Nintex. Been with the company about 6 years. Prior to that, I was 11 years at Microsoft, most of that time on the SharePoint team. I worked on every version of SharePoint since before it was called SharePoint. I love workflow. I love workflow solutions. I want to share with you some fun stuff. Before I begin, and more people have entered the room since before, who uses Nintex anything? Workflow, forms, whatever, today? Roughly half the people in the room. Great. Who has never seen Nintex before in their life? Okay, my offer to you guys, come up to the booth, I'll do a personal demo for you, it'll last as long as you want, et cetera, et cetera. I meant it when I said it before, I'm saying it again. The rest of you, I guess, have heard of us, but aren't using us, and that's totally okay too. All right, let's begin. So, this is what I'd like to talk about. You see, we introduced our version for SharePoint 2013 back in 2012. We actually shipped a month before SharePoint became generally available. And our Forms product followed on about 1 month later. And people started using it right away. They've been using it for 18 months. Nintex Workflow for Office 365, we had a preview in the SharePoint store back when Office 365 on the SharePoint 2013 code base was in preview mode. We've been tracking with the release of the technology platform since the beginning, and we'd released our 365 targeted products last year. What this means is that people have been using us for quite a while. And what we've seen is a cadence of regular, rapid evolution on two fronts. Front number one, features, functionality. We actually work on our Office 365 products and can put things out on every 2 weeks if we need to. We can even increment that on our on-premise stuff, but it's a little bit disruptive to IT departments, so we do that a little less frequently. But we can do it because we were built in the cloud, born in the cloud, and designed to iterate at internet speeds. What we didn't necessarily anticipate but are absolutely delighted is that our customers have been doing the exact same thing. And if I were to think of one word that describes what we've observed people doing with our stuff, that word is everywhere. We see Nintex being used everywhere, and I'm going to define everywhere in several different ways. I'm going to begin with everywhere across the stack. And here's what I mean by that. If you think about workflow solutions or any of a number of applications, we've kind of been told that it's a good idea to think of them in terms of three tiers. And you might call them different things, presentation, process, integration. You might call them people, process, content. Depends on who you are and what you're comfortable with. The point is, you have to interact with people. You have to think and adapt and elaborate and decide and automate and integrate. Sorry, I meant to say that for last. It could be data. It could be services. It could be content. It could be anything. Well, as it turns out, hopefully it's not a surprise, Nintex Workflow is obviously the process-related product in our stack. Forms and our mobile assistance to Forms and Workflow are there for the presentation tier for interacting with people. And when it comes to integration, Nintex Live does an immense amount of work on that front. And because we actually have a suite of technology to go across the entire stack, people have done very clever things. We are everywhere in the organization. And those of you that already have Nintex technology will probably get this idea. Here's an org chart. And here's what some people optimize for or some people want. It's to empower a handful of specialists in an organization to be able to build applications. Well, we think that's a laudable goal, but it tends to create bottlenecks, and a whole bunch of opportunities get lost because a handful of people can only do so much. We think, and wired into our DNA, is the notion of everyone in the organization, not just in the trenches, everywhere throughout the organization, being empowered to build solutions that get things done. If you've got a good idea on how to save money, save time, get things done, you ought to be able to build it in minutes or hours, not days, weeks, or months. By the way, over the years, it evolved to also accommodate the needs of those specialists and their manager. In fact, we think, and normally this is where I would be motivated to do a here's how you build something from scratch demo. But what I'm going to do instead is what, if a company has actually adopted Nintex technology and someone comes up with a good idea and wants to implement it, here's what typically happens. You might have these specialists who know extra stuff, either extra technology or extra logistics or extra business process related information. They can assist by creating reusable stuff, reusable content, reusable components that everyone else can benefit from. And towards that end, let's do demo number one, which is based all around building something quickly and easily and not having to do it from scratch. Realistically speaking, if I'm inside of SharePoint and I realize I need to create a new process, normally I go right through this and start building something from scratch, but you know something? Templates are great. And templates are not limited to the things we give you in the box. Anyone with a good idea that chooses to save something can effectively create a new template for everyone else to benefit from. In fact, you'll see this workflow in action in a little while. This is designed to crowdsource a document review using Yammer, and it can be done in just a matter of seconds. In fact, I might have left one or two things undone. You know something? If I decided to improve this a little bit, all I need to do to share a best practice with everyone else is save it as a template that other people can benefit from. Meaning, yes, we can build something from scratch in minutes or hours, not days or weeks or months, but you actually don't even have to do that a lot of the time. In fact, there's an even medium point that's quite useful. I might decide, and this time I will do one from scratch, that I need to create a workflow that involves an approval and probably a notification and so on, but I might decide to run it by the legal department. And the thing about that is, how can I best put this? I don't know how the legal department wants to deal with a document. They might have a couple of different techniques for it. You know something? I don't really need to know. I have a couple of options available to me. Let's say I go ahead and I grab this. This is a reusable component. And in this particular case, it's not the right one, but doesn't matter. The point is there are a number of components here that represent workflows other people have built that I can reuse as widgets inside of my own environment. I'll give you another example. How about I'm working here and I want to approve a leave request? Someone wants to be away for a while. There's a component here called Get Leave Balance. All it wants to know is whose balance am I checking on? Which type of balance am I going to retrieve, and where do I put it? Well, someone a while back built a little three-step workflow that queries a database to find an employee ID, and it calls a web service that talks to the human resources software. Then it goes ahead and parses the XML that comes back and plucks out the one number that represents what their leave balance is, the number of hours they've accrued. These are three simple steps to anyone that understands the human resources software. They're not three steps that someone thinking about, I want to approve somebody's leave, wants to think about. They want to think, well, I route this to the correct manager, maybe more than one manager, and if so, I need to update a calendar and notify everybody who's affected by this and so on. They don't want to stop and think about this. Well, we can help each other. I can take this workflow, give it a name, give it a category, save it to the toolbox, so that when I need to build a workflow like this, I just drag, drop, and I'm done. Workflow for everyone includes people helping each other, and we make that really, really easy. Everywhere can also mean everywhere you use SharePoint. And here's what I mean by this. SharePoint has been assisted by Nintex Workflow for a very long time. When Office 365, based on the SharePoint 2010 code base, came out a while back, we realized that there were a number of people that wanted to work out there, but since Workflow at that stage had a number of limits, we went ahead and made it possible for on-premise Workflow to drive and direct online activity. When we released Nintex Workflow for Office 365, some people thought that wasn't so necessary anymore. Guess what? As it turns out, who here is in the cloud? Who here is, keep your hand up if you're only in the cloud. Only. One guy. Most of you that are in the cloud are in the cloud and on-premise, and I'm suspecting that you need to distribute work across the two locations from time to time. We support the notion of doing exactly that by having best-of-breed products in both places. Let me give you an example of that. Back to here. Let's jump over to this. This is a workflow that does a review of a document, doesn't matter what it is. In fact, it's a template that can be applied to a lot of libraries. But it's going to simultaneously review a document on-premise and online. And all I need to do, again, this is an area where people are working on it, so I don't necessarily want this particular workflow to kick off right away. I'm going to execute this very quickly right there. So it's a distributed review. Yep, that's the one I want. And we're off. Now it occurs to me. There. Workflow should be starting up any second now, and I should either get an instant message pop up or an email depending on whether I signed on the link early enough. But it will ask me to go ahead and validate a workflow. And again, we run into connectivity issues. I've run this before, and I'll just show you the audit trail of when it worked correctly. All right. When it works, it's going to do two things. It's, yep, that's all right. Yep, it had trouble talking to Link. We're just going to start it one more time. Here we go. Distributed review. There. I'm being told something. This is the local review, and it allows me to quickly show you. We can do reviews over email. Here we're doing a review over link. It's asking me, do you have a second? Why, yes, I have a second. Well, a task is being assigned to you regarding this item. Do you want to read this press release about the dogs and the squirrels signing a historic peace accord to go after their mutual enemy, which is cats? I can respond to the task, or I can just say, approve. And do you have any comments? Great work. I'm done. That took care of the on-premise review. The online review is in progress. Let's go watch it happen. Let's come over here, view workflow history, and here's the distributed review going on at the moment. Now, a lot of it's happened already. Like I said, this is happening in parallel, and at the moment, it's in the process of copying something up to Office 365 so it can be worked on there. Why don't I jump over here to Office 365 and show you a document library that at the moment does not have a document that is a press release about dogs and squirrels. And let's refresh and see whether it's arrived yet. And here we go. And there it is. Dogs and squirrels sign historic peace accord. Now, this is the status's online review. And I happen to have a workflow over here that will act on anything that shows up in this site accordingly, as long as it's showing up in the right place with the right metadata. So I should have been assigned a task to review this thing. Let's review. Let's refresh. There's my task. Great. Now, I'm going to take it on faith that it's a good press release and I've already read it, which means I'm going to approve it without reading it. In real life, never do that. Okay. It's been approved, and if I come back here and take a look at it, the status will have changed from online review to complete-approved. The on-premise workflow is watching for that. And in a little while, when it's picking up any changes or checking for any changes, it will go ahead, react to this, and then tell me that the review is done and tell me what the outcome is. While we're waiting, let me show you something else that's fun. You see, we have a lot of support for Office 365. We love Office 365. We love Office 365 so much that if I look at the more than 100 activities we have online, a lot of them relate to Office 365, including provisioning things, manipulating security groups, assigning licenses. In other words, you could administer this as part of an employee onboarding scenario. It's not just about managing Office 365 or using it. We can check in items and check out items and manipulate sites and site collections and drafts and everything else. This goes on for a couple of pages. And the story is bigger than just Office 365 because we want to extend the reach of the platform in a lot of ways. But the point is, there's a lot of stuff in here, and the odds are very strong that you can make use of it. Now, I'm going to give this just another moment or two to see where we are in the workflow. And if we take just a little bit too long, I'm going to move on. Yep, we're grabbing items out of the list right now. I'm waiting for them to come back. In a few moments, it's going to pluck out. Notice that, we have a completed review. It'll go ahead, set the metadata on the current item, and send me an instant message pop-up. Because I have no way of knowing exactly when that's going to happen, and I've got several more demos to do, we're going to let this one pass us by. All right, let's move back and talk about another meaning for the term everywhere, namely, everywhere you have a browser. And by this, what I mean, by the way, sorry, I can't resist. There. There's my instant message telling me it was approved, and here's a link to it in case I forgot what it was I was routing around for approval in the first place. There, it worked. I love it when a plan comes together. Now, back to everywhere you have a browser. When we went to the cloud, realizing that as much as we love Office 365, as much as we love SharePoint, as much as we love Windows, as much as we love Internet Explorer, it's a heterogeneous world and we have to play nice with the other children. And for that reason, we did a lot of investment in the app model and HTML5 and Windows Workflow Foundation to make sure that there was a payoff for building a cloud app that could be used, well, everywhere. Let's check this out. I will begin with this machine. I have several machines up here in order to illustrate the concept. But here is Nintex workflow for Office 365, editing a press release approval process based on stages, and I'm doing it, obviously, in Internet Explorer on Windows 8. That said, let's jump over here and show you the exact same process inside of Chrome on Windows 8, or the exact same process running in Firefox on Windows 8, or the exact same process inside of Chrome on a Mac, or for that matter, hiding behind Chrome on the Mac, there should be Firefox on the Mac, again, showing you the exact same process. We can actually, anywhere there's a modern browser, it even generally works in Safari, but since SharePoint dropped official support for Safari, so did we. Basically, if Office 365 agrees to work in a particular location, we work in that location, in that browser, in that environment, in that operating system as well. We believe in being interoperable. It's a big deal to us. Okay. Everywhere can also mean everywhere you need to reach content. You already saw a distributed application between SharePoint on-premise and Office 365. Now, I need to get, how can I best put this? I need a little help from you. Who's willing to tell me that they keep content in a place that is not SharePoint and not Office 365? Okay. You might have stuff on OneDrive. You might have stuff in Dropbox. In fact, you might, if you don't, you probably deal with, on a professional level, people who have content in some other places. You might also deal with things that are not official document content at all, but are services like social media and such, and you need to deal with that. Well, we believe that SharePoint's reach can extend to all of these environments using processes as the glue that build a platform out of the services. Tie them together and get what you want done. So how about I show you an example of a cross-product document review? With SharePoint at the center of the universe, but a pretty big universe going on. Let's jump over here. And there. Nope. Actually, here. I need to go back to this browser, and there we are. This is, I have a need to have a document reviewed in a couple of different places. So I'm going to take this non-disclosure agreement, and I'm going to open up a workflow. We're running inside of Office 365. And why don't we do this, not the distributed review, I want to push this to external document stores where I have vendors that work on content for me. And the workflow that's executing right now, just so you get a picture of it, this one is just here to illustrate a point. I'm taking a document and making copies of it in Box and in Dropbox. And that's a technology thing that's just to show you exactly what's going on with this little fluff around it so you understand what's going on. It's happening right now. I'll come back to it in a minute. But let me show you a very practical use of this kind of solution. This is a workflow designed to approve a press release. Actually, nope, jump over here for that. This is a workflow that's designed to approve a press release. And at the moment, it goes through several stages to get a manager's review and the legal department's review and the author making edits and so on. But here, when it comes time to publish it, right now, I don't like what it does. It just emails somebody and says, publish it. That's a cop-out, because if we can automate the review process, we can automate the publishing process. It's actually quite easy to do. I'm going to go here and grab everything I need. This needs to go up to our public-facing site, which is very definitely based on Office 365, and I'm going to get the document up there. One of the things I get back is the URL to the newly published content, which I will tweet about, which I will post on our company's Facebook wall. So far, so good. And it's just a little drag and drop with a little bit of content about what the message is. Everything else is handled for you. Developers in the audience, we deal with the retry logic. We deal with the ticket redemption logic. We deal with the authentication logic. We do all that nasty stuff so that the person that wants to tweet, want to see what this looks like? Who authorizes it? What's the tweet? You want to add an image? Point us at the image. That's it. You want to shorten the URL? We'll handle that too. It's painless. And here's the part about playing well with the other children. We have a PR agency, and they're really good PR people, but they're a little misguided when it comes to technology because they aren't on Office 365. These people use Google Drive, despite our best efforts to persuade them otherwise. That's fine. We'll give it to them in their Google Drive, and then we'll let them know it's there. And in fact, I will insert a little bit of a delay. Let's wait until a particular point in time. And during that time, the PR people will go ahead and post things on the newswire and do call downs to different journalists and let them know about what's coming. And then we actually put it on our own site after the official release date. I took care of all of that, and it was a few little drag and drop steps. Oh, and now let's go back and check out. Yep, there's my non-disclosure agreement in box. And yeah, there it is in Dropbox. It worked. Interoperability matters. We already have 100 and more than 100 activities in the Nintex store, Nintex Live, for interoperating with other systems out there, content providers, service providers, and such. We believe integrating, automating, and communicating matters a lot. Everywhere can also mean everywhere you need to reach people. And what I mean by that is that not everyone works for your organization. You deal with people in the outside world. Sometimes you might have relationships with specific companies or specific vendors, but sometimes you're interacting with the general public, and that still might mean a workflow solution. Therefore, it's not a bad idea to be able to address that kind of situation. And towards that end, how about this? I have a form here that I'm going to submit, but does anyone happen to have a mobile device, Andy? Cool. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to get in on the act as well. Can you read that URL okay? Great. These are capital letters. That's an I, a K, and a capital J. This is not the number one. It's the letter L, as in nintex.live. It's actually ntx.latvia, but who cares? It'll work nicely. So go ahead, type that in. You're going to get a form. I'll leave it up for another 5 seconds or so. It's not particularly long, but I do need to move on and be mindful of the time. All right. Here's that form. You got it? Great. Now, as long as the name can be viewed in mixed company, use any name you want. I will not use Bugs Bunny. That's copyrighted by Warner Communications. I will use, I'll use my own name. And no, I'll use one of my coworkers' names. And let's see, what's his email address? I'll use an Office 365 thing and the fictitious company that we actually own on paper for the sole purpose of not getting sued. And his job title, director, and let's click save. This is going to create a lead submission for us. Now, the reason this is working and it's been submitted successfully, the reason this works is because when we design forms for processes, for list UI, or anything else, we designed our forms so that they can be used in many places. It's possible for us to put a form in a smartphone browser pretty comfortably and pretty easily, and you can do it with just one click. In addition to having it look nice inside of a mobile browser, we also have the ability to view it inside of custom mobile devices. And we have the ability to publish it outside of SharePoint so that it can be placed inside a public-facing website, so you don't need to have a SharePoint login or any login of any kind in order to fill it out. We can reach anyone in a very easy, painless way. And this should... I'm sorry, did someone say something? You submitted the form? Great. Well, the form is tied to a workflow. The workflow's kicking off. We'll come back and check on that in just a few moments. But in the meantime, the URL's been shortened, everything else has been taken care of, and I've authorized anonymous people to submit this thing. It's just going to work when the time comes. But you've already seen me working with public participants inside of that particular example. How about when we talk about everywhere we have people, how about everywhere those people work in whatever format they need to work? By this, what I mean is not everybody works inside of SharePoint tasks. I kind of wish they did, but that's not going to happen. What you have when a workflow gets to the point where it needs to interact with somebody in some way, that task that gets generated might result in a SharePoint task list item. In fact, it always does. But not everyone is going to go to a SharePoint task list to interact with their tasks. It might result in an email. Now, email notifications you get, but in our case, you can reply to the email and it'll complete the task for you. You've already seen us do a review or respond to a task using Link. We can also farm out work to social media channels like Yammer groups. I'll show that to you in a few moments. And it's also entirely possible to show you or to put anything you want on the most popular mobile devices out there. In fact, why don't I give you an example right now of PAN, product, process, participation. That's a lot of P's. But how about we begin? You already saw that other stuff. Ah, I know what I need to do. You should see this before we go any further. Here's a Microsoft Surface, and I'm looking at all the tasks I have waiting for me. Here's a decision that I need to make on a document. In fact, here are some invoices that need to get approved coming. Oh, by the way, well, let's try this one instead. That's much better. Good. I just needed to refresh it. This task has been completed. I did it before before we started. This is a list of all of my tasks in every SharePoint farm I work with. It's the union of everything everywhere. This stuff right here, this is coming from a server that's bridging the gap between us and SAP. I'm actually approving invoices. You'll see that in a few minutes. This stuff over here, it's normal workflow tasks coming from my company intranet. Here are forms that I can submit to start new workflow processes. It works really, really well. And it's not just about working inside of Windows 8 and the modern UI. We also can do this inside of Windows Phone. We can also do this on iPhones. We can also do this on, for that matter, iPads. There are all my forms. I can submit expense reports. I am awash in options, and I have the ability to work on a lot of stuff. In essence, it's a process participation client. All your work in your pocket. Android is on the way within a couple of months. We've already got alphas finished. There are a couple of Nintex people that have versions on them. I'm not one of them, or else I would hold out at least so those of you close by in the front could see an Android one. If you come by the booth, a couple of us do have them. I flip back and forth between Microsoft and Apple stuff on a fairly regular basis without much bias either way. But I don't have Android. But come by the booth, I'll get you an Android thing to look on with your own eyes. So that stuff matters to us in a big, big way. But when we talk about that, how about, let's see, in which of these am I holding Yammer? It's right here. I mentioned that we wanted to be able to crowdsource a document review, right? Let's go take a look at that. How about, where is it? It is here. As you can imagine, with four machines, keeping everything straight takes me a moment. But here is a Yammer-based document review. In fact, why don't I work backwards from the outcome and then I'll show you how it's made. Here is something I just ran a few moments ago, and I asked people to review this particular document. So there's the location of it. Go click on it. I suppose I could have attached it and dropped it in here as an asset. I didn't do that in this particular case. But I also could have had people comment on a piece of external web content. You have a lot of options here. But I said, I'll wait 5 minutes. Realistically, you'd wait a couple of hours or even a day. These are human processes, and not everybody works in real time. But the idea is, reply to this. Tell me what you think. And a few people did. And the long and the short of it is, here inside, which one did I have them do? The non-disclosure agreement? No, it was the press release about the dogs and the squirrels. So let's go ahead and look at the properties here. And, yep, there are all the comments that got received. The workflow involving Yammer, it takes a few moments for it to run because we obviously have to communicate with Yammer. We have to wait for people to reply, and I don't think you want to wait the 5 minutes for us to collect responses and then act on them. That's why I'm showing you one that already ran. But it works really, really well. And if we've got time at the end, I'll run it while I'm taking questions. Everywhere can also mean everywhere you need to integrate with something else somewhere else. Integration is a big deal to us. We actually think that there is no one size fits all. When you're talking about a SharePoint-centric approach to integration, you're probably thinking, I have a process that I'm running in one place, on one platform, probably SharePoint. And I'm going to put all my processes there. And if I've got something else to work with, and I've put SAP here just as a straw man, we get asked to integrate with SAP a lot, but it could be Oracle, it could be anything. It does not matter. It could be Salesforce.com, it does not, could be Microsoft CRM, it does not matter. The point is, this approach assumes that all the driving takes place in one location. And if your organization permits that, great. Realistically speaking, and I'm going to use SAP very specifically in this case, anyone have SAP? Would you be comfortable with SAP being manipulated like a puppet by somebody operating inside of SharePoint? You're violently shaking your head, sir. Is anyone cool with that idea? One guy. All right. This works great for certain line of business solutions, but in the more interesting things get, in the more complicated an organization becomes or needs to be, a collaborative approach matters a lot, where you integrate not just the software, but you integrate people and the processes those people are responsible for managing. It matters immensely to be able to do this properly. People build processes in SAP. People that have SAP, do your users like stopping whatever they're doing, opening up a browser, going to the SAP portal, navigating through 8 screens to find a list of available accounts payable items that they've got to review and approve? Thank you, sir. He's, for those of you that can't see, the gentleman who really didn't like the idea of automating SAP from afar, he shook his head, but not so violently. He's admitting it's a good idea to integrate or act with SAP, but if you can avoid actually talking to SAP in the process, there might be some value in that. So how about if an SAP process, when it gets to the point where it wants somebody to review something, stops, hands the work off to SharePoint, SharePoint starts a very friendly, human, office, Nintex, SharePointy kind of thing in order to handle the review process there, and as long as at the end, that process sends an instruction back to SAP and says, go for it, or no way, SAP continues on with its process and everybody wins. We love that idea. And in fact, I'll show that happening to you right now. Now, We're not doing this all by ourselves. No two ways about it. We believe in partnering. Partnering matters a lot. And we work with several people that are able to do best of breed. In other words, if you're in an organization that wants to manipulate SAP from a SharePoint workflow, we actually have partners that do that. What I'm going to do this time is probably something he likes better than you do, which is work with middleware designed to bridge the gap between the two universes. And in this particular one, it involves zero code. In fact, you don't even have to, not only do you not have to code like a developer, you don't even need to think like one. I'm talking about ERP-Link from the Gimmel Group. And one of the things that ERP-Link does is it surfaces key pieces of SAP functionality directly inside of the SharePoint UI. Now, this in itself, several people do this, this in itself is nice and great, but not necessarily different. I suppose there is one thing that is a little bit different. If you come here, you can view the history of the SAP workflow that's already been in progress so far. You can even go ahead, and if you want to proactively check this on a regular basis, you can view information and act on it accordingly. But realistically speaking, a lot of managers I know would prefer not even to have to do this. Yes, they don't have to log on directly to SAP, they can do it in SharePoint, but they still have to remember to go here and check all this stuff out, and they've got to open up a desktop browser to do it, et cetera, et cetera. What I'd really like to do is the best user interface is sometimes no special user interface at all. Well, here's what happens. One of the things Gimmel does is also beneficial to SAP. Instead of just throwing the document in a static repository, it puts it in a SharePoint library, and SAP uses a SharePoint document, SharePoint can use a SharePoint document, and because these assets, these accounts payable images, are SharePoint documents, we can trigger workflows off of them. So here's an example of a workflow that just completed a few moments ago. And this particular workflow went ahead, figured out who's supposed to approve it based on categories and amounts and all of that, and gave it to the correct manager who then made a decision that looks like they approved it and finished it. And here are a set of workflow tasks pending. In fact, I'll tell you what, why don't I go ahead and do one of these right now. This is an accounts payable invoice. It's an index workflow with an index form attached to it. And again, remember, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes involving SAP, involving ERP-Link from Gimmel. But because they've bridged the gap between SAP transactions and SharePoint documents, we can take advantage of the presence of a SharePoint document with a bunch of metadata associated with it, take that metadata, give it to you, and say, here, is this worth approving? And if you decide that it is okay to approve it, you submit it, and away we go. What does that workflow look like? It's not especially big at all. In fact, I kind of cheated because I did the workflow by looking at a task list inside of a SharePoint thing. I could have just as easily done that on my mobile device, and probably should have. Or I could have done that in a link chat. Or I could have done that in an email reply. Or I could have done that on an iPad. Or I could have done that by doing it the way I just did it. This workflow took about a half hour to build. And when I come over here and refresh the list of transactions, and sort them correctly so I can see it. There it is, document posted. SAP has actually taken care of this, and in fact, the vendor's already been paid. It just worked. Now, that's fun, but we're not done with the fun. Let's come over here and see what happened with that lead that we just created. Let me go over here to my Yammer feed. And it looks like we've got some new content. Two new messages, in fact. James Kelly from Nintex Test. I'm assuming that's someone over here who submitted it. And this is my colleague that I said, right? Well, here's the record. We now have a new lead inside of Salesforce.com. In fact, if you want to see the process involved, actually, I can show the whole thing to you. Here's the process. It's right here. In fact, it's not just Salesforce.com. It involves a service called MailChimp as well. See, Salesforce.com has an email marketing module built in, but it's actually quite expensive. MailChimp is really inexpensive and very feature-rich. So combining the best of MailChimp and the best of Salesforce, and yes, we can do this with Microsoft CRM as well, but, or will be, we can, yeah. By building a platform out of services and gluing them together to make best-of-breed solutions and doing that by process engineering, everybody benefits, and you get to use the best stuff from the best place. So, we subscribed somebody to a list that's managed by MailChimp. We created a lead in Salesforce. We set up a follow-up call, and then we told everybody about it on our Yammer group that's looked at by the salespeople. If you want to view the new record in Salesforce, here it is. Whoops, I haven't logged in a while. That's all right. There he is. There's all the details on this new lead. And if I want to look at their subscription information in MailChimp, there it is. Actually, nope. It's been a while since I logged in. There it is. And here are the leads. And if we refresh, there we go. There's Eden. And there's that other one that I think someone else had put in a few moments ago. But there you go. Interoperability with a lot of software in a lot of places. Extending SharePoint's reach to the entire cloud. Recognizing that people use whatever they want, wherever they want, with whoever they want, whenever they want, and creating order out of all that chaos is a good idea. Working with Nintex to do that are a lot of technology partners. This is not an exhaustive list. These are the ones where I had conveniently accessible logos to fill a slide without it looking too cluttered. The total number of technology partners is considerably larger than this. The total number of companies we work with is even larger. These are the people with whom we share technical information and work together on support calls for our common customers. Nintex's strategy for things that we don't do, because we're workflow guys, is when you want to automate something, we want to work with the people responsible for that something to make sure everyone wins, especially customers and partners. All right. Everywhere. Everywhere. One more meaning for the term everywhere is everywhere you can automate. Because it's not, look, a lot of my examples have involved either SharePoint list items or documents or something to that effect. And yes, I think that when you're talking about a lot of work in a lot of places, people think in terms of content. You may have structured data in the forms of databases or transactions. But when a user sees a transaction, they think of it as a form. They think of it as a piece of content. So to illustrate concepts, I'm breaking them down to simple examples. But in truth, Nintex workflow and Nintex forms get used in a lot of places for a lot of different use cases. Here are a couple of examples. Now, this is all, you already saw the bit about approving press releases and doing that across multiple companies and multiple web facilities and such. How about this one? This is employee onboarding. Anyone have a human resources department? Okay. Well, here's the deal. Has anyone shown up for work and not had a computer, not had an account, not had a mailbox, not had a phone, not had a whole bunch of stuff? Wouldn't it be great if all that was ready for you on day one, sir? I think so, too. This workflow does all of that. Actually, I'm lying. It's missing one thing, but I'll fix that in a second. This workflow will go ahead. This process will provision an Active Directory account for the person. In fact, it starts early and does a little sub-process. Remember when I, at the beginning, when I was talking about someone clever can come up, can write a workflow that's reusable inside of another workflow? Well, this is a workflow where we figure out a unique username Then we create an Active Directory account. Then we add them to the right groups based on their job function. Then we give them an email address. Then we go ahead and activate a phone number and give them link privileges. Then we create a My Site and add user profile information to them. Then we wait for their start date and email their manager on their day of hiring so that the manager doesn't lose the email, their credentials, and their temporary password. Now, the thing that I forgot to do, remember, these are distributed facilities. The enterprise is comprised of a lot of things in a lot of places. Some of that's in the cloud, like Yammer. On their very first day, we probably ought to invite them to the company's social network too. Done. And we have a version of this that's Office 365 focused, and in that case, it doesn't have as many moving parts, at least not at this part of the workflow, because in Office 365, you provision a user and then you apply the correct license to them. But then you need to ask people, which license do they get? That's a workflow in and of itself. In fact, this workflow is the IT part of the show. It's preceded by a human resources workflow that asks a lot of questions to make these decisions, including when the person's going to start, where they're going to be assigned, which groups they should be assigned to, and so on and so forth. This involves people stuff, transactional stuff, organizational facilities management stuff. In fact, if this were a software company, I might want to provision virtual machines in Azure or Amazon or Rackspace or something like that to give them a place to do their work. And it can all be ready on day one with a process. How about in help desk scenarios or other scenarios, figuring out where there are available times in people's calendars, and then asking the customer to select an appropriate callback time based on when we know someone's going to be available, and then assigning something to someone's task list or to someone's calendar and Exchange server and such. It's a trivial thing. Or this one's fun. Who's online right now? Give that person the task. Or this one. This is really, really simple, but it handles a very real problem in a lot of organizations, namely creating site collections. Who here turns on self-service site collection creation? Yeah, me too. It would be useful, but it would be good if there were some control around it, right? Well, this is set up so that somebody submits a form, a request. This gets routed to somebody to approve it. If it's approved, we go ahead and create the site collection they want and then notify them about it, et cetera, et cetera. In reality, we'd make this workflow more elaborate. Might require several levels of approval, and we might need to make some decisions as to which content database or a couple of other things. And that's all okay. We can do that too. But it really comes down to, is it okay? All right, now you can have your site collection. Painless thing for us to do, and it's a very, very long list for types of business scenarios that we are able to implement. So, for every use case, for every data center, for every cloud service, every app, every device, every site, every user, Nintex is not only workflow for everyone, Nintex is workflow for everyone everywhere. And if you'd like to know more information about this, please visit our booth or check out www.nintex.com. Thank you very much. If they'd like to pose, there are microphones available, or And it doesn't have to be about the material I talked about here. It can be about anything you'd like, assuming it's got something to do with Nintex. Yes, sir. Oh, the gentleman's asking, when we save a workflow template, what is the scope of that template? You actually get to choose. We can scope components to a site collection, or to the entire farm. You've got lots of options, actually. We supported a distributed model with a sort of descending or compartmentalized, but at different levels of the organization, you can do different things. Yes, sir. Yes, we support state machine workflows. We support looping, conditional branching, parallel processing. Actually, one thing that we can do that's actually more than slightly interesting is nest state machines, nest loops, nest state machines in loops or vice versa or so on and so forth. So very complex logic is very, very possible. Not only can all those actions, subclassing and creating new components? They're Windows Workflow Foundation custom activity assemblies. The ones that we wrote ourselves are sealed, but you can add new ones either by writing code in Windows Workflow Foundation or just writing a workflow and saving it to the toolbox as a reusable component. Or if it's something that you want to have hosted in the cloud, if you write a RESTful web service, we can add it to our online catalog, which means it's entirely possible for you to make your stuff available to every Nintex customer everywhere, and you can determine who's allowed to use it and who isn't. Yes, sir?
The lazy approval using Link, is that brand new or is that in existing?
Lazy approval over Link? Yeah. We've actually had it for a couple of years at this point.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. You do need to you have to turn it on. It's not activated by default because you have to tell us which user account you're going to use, because we spin up a bot, basically.
We looked into setting up the Link integration, but we'd only seen the lazy approval with email, so I was excited to see that.
Yes, lazy approval over email, no-brainer, been around since 2007. Lazy approval over Link at this point, I think it's been roughly 2 years.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Nintex works on one way or another, Nintex works on every kind of SharePoint there is, going back to 2007. And actually, we have something that worked on SharePoint 2003, for that matter.
So in 2013, the foundation version, you can't use the workflow.
Oh, I see. You're talking about the classic workflow host versus the new workflow manager that comes from the App Fabric people?
Right.
Right. All right. So in Office 365, we use the new workflow manager quite deliberately because that has no sandbox issues, and Office 365 is optimized for that. On-premise, we actually continue to use, for the time being, the classic workflow host for two reasons. The 2010 style workflow, but for two very important reasons. Reason number one, we have a lot of customers that need to upgrade, and Microsoft broke compatibility between 3.5 and 4.0. It's a completely different model. It's apples to oranges. You don't even describe workflows the same way anymore. We make them look the same, but behind the scenes, they're very, very different. So we wanted to make sure there was a seamless upgrade path from 2010 to 2013. So getting that right early was important. The second thing is, if you look at the feature set, most of the advantages offered by the new workflow engine, we've actually been able to make the old engine do since a very, very long time ago.
So do you use your own engine?
No, we use SharePoint's engine. We just know how to we know how to make it do our bidding. But it saves you infrastructure and it saves you trouble and it keeps things nice, lean and mean. In other words, we turn SharePoint into a business process portal. It's reliable if you know how to talk to it correctly. If you just ask it something blindly, yes, it can misbehave, but we know exactly under which conditions we might need to force changes to commit before attempting to read something that was just written. We're really good at that. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. You can force an update. The model is very similar to the way content type updates are done. In other words, you can leave the other stuff alone because you may think it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or you can hit one button and propagate the changes through to all affected workflows. Your choice. Yes, you can also see exactly what will be affected if you decide to propagate the update. Yes, sir. Error handling. Yes. Well, actually, a number of our actions already have some error handling built into them, and we are looking at ways to give you more options on that. Yes, we are doing that. Yes. Let's see. The biggest difference between the standard version and the enterprise version, it's three things. You have more integration options in the enterprise version for accessing a lot of the service more interesting service applications provided by SharePoint. The second thing is the ability to do reporting or analyzing the telemetry that we gather on workflows. And our telemetry, we keep it around until you decide to purge it. You don't have a 60-day timeout or anything like that. And then the third big difference between the two, lots of provisioning functionality and so on for creating users, groups, and so on and so forth. I'm sorry? Posting to Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff? No, you get that in standard. No, you get it in 2010 as well as 2013. In fact, I think you even get it in 2007. I know we do it. It just occurs to me I've not attempted to build a workflow in 2007 in a while, but it does work. Yes, sir.
You.
Yeah, actually, let's go with you because you're by the microphone, and then you behind him.
You mentioned integration with SAP and some other temperamental external systems. How
yes.
About the gold standard temperamental systems, PeopleSoft?
PeopleSoft provides a web service interface that we're able to talk to quite nicely. I'm not going to tell you that we've got some sort of drag-and-drop builder for PeopleSoft integration because it's foolhardy to think you can easily integrate with something without understanding it. And so if you understand PeopleSoft and you know something about SharePoint and workflow, we'll make it very easy for inside of Nintex to call PeopleSoft's web services to get something done. Unlike SAP's web services, PeopleSoft's web services are actually pretty straightforward and operate at a high level. Something like create customer record or grab employee data is one method calling PeopleSoft. It's 20 in SAP, which is why the topic of SAP integration is such a rich vein to mine. But yes, PeopleSoft does web services. We talk to them. It just works.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Sure. Yes, sir. And then actually, he raised his hand before you. It got. Do you mind if I?
Yeah, sure.
You're next, I promise. Yes, sir. No, ERP Link is available from a company called Gimmel. They have a booth here, and Gimmel does several things, but ERP Link is one of them. And but we also, our partners have used Nintex in conjunction with ERP Link from Gimmel. They've used us with Duet Enterprise. They've used us with SAP Enterprise Services. There are some companies that have found it most comfortable to manipulate SAP's Zlib. To create new BAPIs and new RFCs and just call those directly, but expose them through NetWeaver as web services because they're more comfortable. Their SAP people are more comfortable than that than introducing new infrastructure. My point is not necessarily to say use GIML ERP Link; it's the best. My point is to say whichever way you want to talk to SAP, we actually support. We don't give you one way to do it and say do it our way and make you do it. Or worse still, one way for workflow and one way for everything else. Whatever you decide you want to use, we work with it. Digital signatures, same thing. If you decide you want to use one company or another, the odds are we work with both. We don't make you implement something just for workflow.
So can you use both RFC-enabled
BAPI calls
and web services?
Yeah, you can do that yes, you can do that with ERP Link. You can do that with Citrion, which just got bought by NewsGator. Some of our partners have done that. There's Theobald, that provide a layer for talking directly to BAPIs and RFCs and such. And they have a booth here as well. And all of them have been pretty painlessly integrated with Nintex. Sure. Yes, sir.
So I've been using Nintex for about 5 years, mm-hmm. And one of the pain points I find always is if a workflow fails, you can't restart it from the place where it failed. And I wish there was a way to do that. Any plans?
First off, thank you for being a customer for 5 years. Secondly, that works online today. That is actually one good, there are others, but one definite benefit of the new workflow manager is that by default, it doesn't abort the workflow when it encounters an external problem. It suspends it, allows you to correct the external problem and then resume it. Assuming that the problem was outside of the workflow, not inside. If you resume something that's a logical error, you're just gonna suspend it all over again. So yes, you'll get that as we make the transition to Workflow Manager. We won't do that with the classic workflow host because the engine itself has no support for it. You can, if you design a workflow with stages or state machine logic and so on, you could have it jump back to the correct state by checking metadata to figure out where it was at the last point you were in it. So it can be done. It's more work than you probably want to do, but it is possible. And as we evolve, a lot of the investments we're making in the cloud will translate to on-premise evolution as well. But as should be really, really obvious, a lot of the attention is being paid up there, and we firmly have a commitment to our on-premise customers for a very, very, very long time. But given the fact that it's our only option to do Workflow Manager up there, we're rapidly innovating there. At a certain point, we will take that investment and apply it to our on-premise stuff. But that's not today. Okay. Yes. Okay.
And the only thing we have been able to tie this to is a storage point licensing book expiring. Do you know any correlation of why that could be happening at the same time?
I don't know off the top of my head, but if you give me your card, I'll make sure that someone gets in touch with you right away about it. It sounds like this is one of those times exactly what's going on in your scenario matters a lot. It's not a general purpose thing we encounter a lot, but if it's got something to do with storage point. Look, we want you to be happy with our stuff. So. Okay. Yes, please give me your card. I will make sure someone gets in touch with you. Yes, sir. In terms of custom reporting, you've got a lot of options. In fact, later on this week, John White from Unlimited Viz, who's an MVP for SharePoint, will show you how you can do interesting business intelligence tricks with the data we collect on workflows. We provide you with some reporting in the box. Watch this space for more evolution in terms of governance, reporting, and manageability.
I like the ability to see, you know, every morning what happened overnight, what failed, but also be able to slice the data and say, you know, over 1 week I posted X number of tweets and created X number of...
Oh, we can do that already. Yeah, because all that stuff is logged. Our data is kept inside of an SQL server. Our tracking data, our telemetry, it's maintained in SQL server.
Okay.
And the schema is published. Yes.
Thank you.
Certainly. We are likely in the cloud to not give you access to the raw data, but rather give you some OData sources you can grab and harvest, put in a warehouse of your own, and query to your heart's content. Just fair warning. We're not going to let you rummage through our tables in the cloud. But you can totally do that on premise. Yes, sir.
My voice is a little dry, so I come with Mike. Unfortunately, this is going to be a little general. I have a colleague who has quite a complex workflow. It has sub-workflows and such.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having performance issues with it. And unfortunately, I was supposed to get an email, so I get to ask a little more specific questions. So unfortunately, it's going to have to be general.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend, you know, as good resources or places that he can go to kind of work through that? Because
if you have a workflow that's running slow, slowly. I would say there are a couple. Usually, occasionally there might be something going on infrastructure-wise, RAM and a number of web front ends and so on, but a lot of the time it's the design of the workflow itself.
Okay.
So there are a couple of things you can do. One, if it's impeding the ability to get something done, not necessarily, it's probably a prime thing to talk to our support people about.
Okay.
And I suspect most of our customers, like 90%+ have software assurance, which entitles you to support. Right. Get in touch with our guys. They will help you. They'll take a look. But the other thing is, we also have a vast network of 1,000 partners who know our products really well and could spend the day with you to show you how to optimize your processes. Some of them are obviously more along the lines of creating projects from start to finish, but others are in the education and tutoring business and troubleshooting business.
Okay.
If you get in touch with your Nintex rep and if you give me your card, I'll make sure that person contacts you. They can probably put the right kind of partner in touch with you if you want.
Okay, great.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Yes?
Two questions. One, about the metrics, the schema you mentioned. Is that a publicly available document or some information on how to document the schema?
I'm sorry?
The schema of metrics being collected in the Nintex database?
Yes, the data being collected in the Nintex database?
Yeah.
Actually, the schema, in the case of on-premise, the schema is published in our SDK. We are very likely to transition to making those available as certain OData sources, and we'll encourage you to do that instead. But if you need to do that right now, there's nothing stopping you from doing it. And if you're very careful about when you do it and under what conditions, and you make sure you don't impose any locks, like repeatable read locks and such, the odds of it causing harm are not great. We'd obviously prefer you wait till we do OData stuff, but given the fact that's not available today, we can't fault you for querying our database.
Do you know when that's going to be available?
Actually, the person who controls the queuing and priority is behind you. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. Team Center Community? Or something else?
I don't know if they're related.
It's okay. Yeah.
Basically, drag and drop interfaces, web interface with SAP.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you had any relationship with them.
I'm not aware of a relationship with them, but generally speaking, we haven't met an SAP interoperability company we didn't like. So we're happy to talk to them and explain how to do interoperability with, or figure out how to do interoperability with them and so on.
Yeah, ideally, since we have a relationship with both community and Nintex, you would like to use the two products together.
Sure. Yes, sir.
I have a Nintex form question.
Okay.
Web service calls.
Yes.
From a form.
It is scheduled, it is in our queue of things that we are going to do. We're going to encourage you to be careful about how you do it, because how about this? We don't want you to bind a form to a web service, but calling a web service to populate a drop-down list, that kind of scenario, yeah, we will do it. It won't be tomorrow. Right now, you can do it if you wrap that. If you register the web service with business connectivity services and make it an external list. That totally works today. Make it an external list, and we can use it. No, an external list just behaves like a list API-wise, but it's calling a web service every time you're rummaging through it. You don't have to duplicate data at all. That works today.
Okay.
But if you want to talk directly to the web service, we don't do it yet. We are going to do it. At some point within the next 12 months, it would very likely to show up without the person here who owns that schedule. I'm not going to commit to whether it'll be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, or 12 months from now, but it is going to happen. In the meantime, BCS really works. Yes?
How many pre-built business process workflow templates do you guys have?
We ship with about 20 templates in the box, and they're really meant to give you ideas and starting points and so on. We've actually been mulling over creating a robust template library of realistic workflows, but they're really there to get you thinking about what a workflow looks like. Generally speaking, anytime we try to create a generic template, every company is different and winds up building a set of templates of their own. But it happens pretty quickly and pretty organically. Yes, sir? About 3 years old. Apples and pears, not so much apples and oranges, but really, I see there being four things that we think of as forms. One would be a smart document or a structured document. InfoPath, in fact, this was what InfoPath was designed to do, which is give you it's an editor for XML documents. That was the very first reason InfoPath existed. We aren't in that business. The second thing is providing UI for some data. A SharePoint list, for example, or some SharePoint assets. Yeah, we totally do that, and we're quite good at it. The third one would be user interfaces for solutions or applications, like workflows, starting workflows, doing workflow tasks, shipping around information to people at different stages inside of a business process. We are all over that, and that's the number one reason to use Nintex Forms. And the fourth thing that people did with InfoPath Forms is turn them into standalone applications all by themselves. We are not in that business. In fact, that's not a really good design technique, and most people wind up having a very bad time with that. So everything? No. No. We do some things InfoPath doesn't do, like we have support for managed metadata, for example, and so on, cascading dropdowns and a bunch of things. We do not do views, but usually when you're doing views, it's either based on hiding and revealing things for security purposes, and we have a nice way to do that that doesn't require you to use views. We also have a way to break something up into several forms or different steps on a workflow path. And they can all be based on a common template, and it looks nice too. So it solves that kind of job to be done in a different way. So again, we do a lot of the things InfoPath does. We're not trying to be a clone of InfoPath, so it's not a perfect one-to-one mapping at all. But if you are using it for data UI or app UI, we do a quite nice, what we've got is good. It's a separate SKU. Yes, it's a separate product to be bought.
But isn't it also
they work together very nicely, though.
Isn't the power of Nintex Forms that it's
mobile? I'm sorry? Mobile? Oh, yeah, that's another thing that you don't get out of the box with InfoPath. But thank you very much. No mobile clients, no anonymous user support, and so on and so forth. We do all of that. And our forms, when you're viewing them in a browser, just pure HTML. And when you're viewing them in mobile clients, they're XML information being shipped around to something that fits your mobile device perfectly. Any closing questions, sir? You're still standing.
I wanted to ask you if you recorded this.
I think every session's being recorded.
Okay.
Yes. My esteemed colleague here has said yes. Oh, great. Well, thanks. Okay.
Be good. All right.
Thanks very much.